If you'll take your Bible this morning and you'll open up to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to go to a familiar portion of Scripture. I'm going to have Brother Cleo come up, and I'm going to have him, if he would read verses 16 through 20. 16 through 20. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture, and I'm going to make an application from verse number 18 from this portion of Scripture. So, Brother Cleo, why don't you come on up and read for us? Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20.
Good morning, beloved. Matthew chapter 28. Verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
All righty. I want to talk to you this morning about unutilized power of Christ. Many times we find ourselves in circumstances, situations, and no matter what the problem is, no matter what the situation is, no matter how grim it may look, sometimes we do not use what we have. We don't use the arsenal of tools that God has given us. And I praise the Lord, we as saved, born-again Christians, we have the power of God not only on our lives, we have the power of God in our lives, and we have the power of God to accomplish things for Him. And a lot of times, what we don't do is we don't utilize that power. We don't use it to its fullest abilities. And I'd like to talk with you for a few moments on that this morning, and I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would help me here this morning, Lord, as I speak to your people. Lord, I pray that you would help me, Lord, to convey over to them, Lord, what you'd have us to hear this morning. And Father, I pray that we would tap into the power that you have given us, and Father, to use to your honor and to your glory. And Lord, I just pray that your will would be done in our room, in this auditorium this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the children. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to hear what you'd have them to hear. Lord, I pray that you would be with our adults here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you'd just be with each need represented. Lord, I pray that those that are lost and not saved, Lord, I pray that today they would come forward and ask you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray for the ones that have been carrying around burdens and problems and Lord, trying to fix it themselves. Lord, I just pray that you would help them, Lord, to realize that you want to fix it for them. And Father, we just pray and ask all these things in your name. Amen. Well, as we look at the verses that were read here, and our text verse is verse number 18, and it says here, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And again, for those of you who may not be familiar with this portion of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified, he had been buried, and he had risen again. And he had told the Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus when they came to the tomb, he told them to go back and tell his disciples that they were to meet him in Galilee. And it took a little while, and we talked about this over Easter Sunday, but it took a little while, and finally the disciples got the picture, and they got into the place where God had told them to be. God told them that where they needed to meet him before he died, and when he rose again, the first thing that he sent back message that he was to that they were to meet him in a certain particular place, in Galilee, and where he had appointed. And again, the application there, folks, is we miss out a lot, and we actually kind of cripple ourselves. It's kind of like taking, for you ladies, when you go to clean your house and pulling out the vacuum sweeper, and getting it in the middle of the room, and then start moving it back and forth without plugging it in. You know, you can move that back and forth. You know, I was doing a little bit of cleanup around here, and I went downstairs and got that useless little thing that has no motor, and you push and it's supposed to pick things up. Well, it put more stuff back on the floor than it picked up stuff off the floor. But you know, a lot of times, you know, we don't use the power that is to us and that is available to us. And in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have power. And in verse number 17, when these disciples were gathered together, the first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed when he walked into the, when he entered into the room where they were, and by the way, they were in that room behind a shut and locked door, and the Lord, it didn't prevent the Lord Jesus Christ from coming in. And you know, that you know, if you think about that. And the first thing he said to him, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And he was talking to them about what his abilities were. And again, he said in heaven and in earth. And what that helps us understand is the Lord Jesus Christ has unlimited power. And in any situation, and as we go through, and we'll look at some things here for this morning. And as we think about unrealized or untapped power, what we got to understand is the Lord Jesus Christ has power over nature. And if you think about it, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 16, it tells us that that it says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. You know, some of us, you know, we might have authority. Some of us might have power, but I don't know of anybody in this room who has taken absolutely nothing and created something. You know, we've been working downstairs, but you know, we didn't go down there. Now, I would have loved this if it worked that way, and just begin to speak, and walls fall down, and beams jump up, and drywall dust, you know, go out, and pieces of drywall get in the trailer. No, we had materials to work with, but you know what the Bible tells us here, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he has the power over creation. Everything that exists in heaven and earth, every throne, every dominion, the Bible says every principality, it was created by the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we think about our salvation, folks. We were created in our salvation, and we're set aside for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, when he told the disciples, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." What he meant is power over creation. You know, I'll tell you what, I love having a God that can create something from nothing. And then the next thing that we see the Lord Jesus Christ and his power over nature, he has the power to still the tempest. You know, he took some disciples out on a trip. And they got out in the middle of the ocean, or they got out in the middle of the lake and the water, and the storms came up, and they came around, and it was a situation that they had no control of. They couldn't stop. But you know who could? You know who did? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's no storm that you'll ever experience in your life, whether it be a physical storm, whether it be a spiritual storm, that the Lord Jesus Christ does not have power over. You say, "Now wait a minute, you know, I was in a storm and I prayed, you know, and I asked God to take care of that situation, and he didn't do it." You know, sometimes God gives us what we need. You know, the verse in Philippians that tells us God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You know, sometimes we need a storm. Now that doesn't mean that he's absent in the storm. He's present in the storm. And he can control the tempest. And in this particular situation, in Matthew chapter 9, in verse number 27, the men, the disciples, as they were making that trip, and the Lord Jesus Christ had stood up, and he commanded the winds to stop, and he commanded the sea to calm. The Bible says that they were all amazed of the power that the Lord Jesus Christ had, because it immediately stopped. You know, and the Lord Jesus Christ also has the power. In John chapter 2 and verse number 9, we see the account in the Bible where Jesus was at the marriage and he turned water into wine. He has the power to change what is to what is needed. Think about that. At that wedding, the need was they had run out of wine, and they needed more. And the Lord Jesus Christ come in and said, okay, what I want you all to do is I want you to take these barrels and I want you to fill them to the tippy top with water. And after they filled them to the tippy top with water, he said, now I want you to take that out and I want you to serve it to the guest. Can you imagine being one of those servants? as you're bearing that bucket of water out there and you're giving it to the guest, and the Lord Jesus Christ had turned that water into wine. You see, he took what was there and changed it into what he needed. And you know, I thank the Lord that in my life and in many spiritual aspects and in many physical aspects, he has changed what was there into what was needed, and he has that power. And then the Lord Jesus Christ also has the power, and even the power to curse. He had the power to curse a fig tree in Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 19. You say, well, you know, what do you mean in there? What was that all about? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was traveling with his disciples and he came upon a fig tree and he was looking for fruit. And there was no fruit there. And so the Bible says that he cursed the fig tree. And immediately that fig tree, the Bible says, just withered away and died. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, has the power to judge. He has the power to judge. And folks, one day there's going to be a parcel of people that are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment, what the Bible tells us. And as they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to come up and they're going to bow down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to confess that he is Lord and that he is the Messiah and that he is the Savior of the world. And he's going to look at them and say, depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you. You see, he also has the power to judge. And that'll be those, and it might be one of you all in the room here this morning when you had the opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you had the opportunity to change your eternal destiny and you chose not to do it. You'll be one of those ones that'll be standing at the white throne judgment. You'll still bow, you'll still confess Jesus Christ as Lord, but at that particular time, he will be acting as judge and he will say, depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you. Christians, those of us who are saved and born again, we're going to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to have to give an account for those things that we had done here on this earth, and folks, those things we had not done here on earth. You know, disobedience will be judged. You say, well, I'm going to fix it, Jesus. I'm just not going to do what you tell me to do. And then in that way, you know, if I just don't do it, then, I can't be judged. Well, yes, you will be. You'll be judged for disobedience. And now, that won't cost you your salvation, praise the Lord. But you will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. You will give. And the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to judge. Then, as we look at the power of the Lord Jesus Christ has power over sin. The Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 2 and verse number 9, he had the power to forgive. He had the power to forgive sin. And it tells us there that Jesus Christ alone is the only one that has the power to forgive sin. You say, well, preacher, why does Jesus Christ only have the power to forgive sin? Because he's the one that paid for it. He's the one that paid for it. He's the one that shed his blood on Calvary's tree. He's the one that died and was buried and rose again. And as the Bible says, that all our sins, the sins of the entire world was placed upon him. And the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to forgive sin. And you know, I tell you what, I am so thankful for the power that he has. Because you know, this morning when I was preparing the last part of the message, and when I was upstairs in my office and praying, you know, I was able to go right into the throne room of God and pray to him because I was covered by the wonderful, powerful blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's not only power to get me into heaven, it's power to get me into the throne room of God. So he has the power to forgive sin. You know, he had the power to forgive a religious man. In John chapter 3, in verse number 3, there was a religious man named Nicodemus that came to him and said, "Rabbi, what must I do? How can I be saved?" And he said, "You must be born again." You know, the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone had the power to forgive the religious man his sins. You know, folks, I was talking to a lady yesterday in Kroger parking lot, and she explained to me that she was Jewish. And she explained to me that she was also Buddhist. And you know what she's depending on? She's depending on man's religion to take her to heaven. She's depending on her good works to take her to heaven. And strangely enough, she's depending on her being good enough to come back as something better than what she is currently. But you know, folks, that's not the way it works. Religion does not save man. You can be a baptized member of Faith Independent Baptist Church, but if you have not put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll die and spend eternity in hell forever. Because religion can't save you. There is not a religion that has ever existed. There'll not be a religion that ever exists that can save you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ has power over sin. He has power to forgive the adulterous woman. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 4, he went to Samaria, and he went there, and he met a woman at the well, and he told that woman at the well, he said, "If you drink of the water which I give unto you, you would have eternal life." You see, it was that woman was an adulteress. She had been married 5 times, and the man that she was living with was not her husband. She was a wicked, horrible woman. But the Lord Jesus Christ forgave her. You know, it doesn't matter who you are and where you are in your life or how far you've been or what sin you've done. If you're breathing, if you're in the sound of my voice, it's not too late. It doesn't matter how wickedly you've lived. The Lord Jesus Christ has the power to forgive sin. And he forgave that woman, and she accepted. And then the Lord Jesus Christ also has the power to save the dying thief. We see that in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 43. A man that had lived wickedly all of his life and was hanging on the cross beside the Lord Jesus Christ justly for what he had done in his life. And the Lord Jesus Christ forgave him and told him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." You know, I'll tell you what, I am so glad that I'm on the side of a powerful Savior that has the power over sin. You know, I'm so thankful that as a 15-year-old young man that the Lord Jesus Christ had power over my sin. And when I knelt down and I confessed my sin and I confessed that I was a sinner and accepted him as my Lord Jesus Christ, he saved my soul. And I thank the Lord for that. And he has the power over sin. He also has the power over sickness. You know, sometimes we don't pay attention to what God can do for us. And the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew or in Mark chapter 2 and in verse number 12, there was a man that the Bible says was sick of a palsy, and his 4 friends took out the roof tiles to lower him down before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ when he saw the faith of his friends, told that man to rise up and take up thy bed and walk. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ still has power over sickness today. He still is in control. And now he may choose to do that many ways. He may choose to use doctors. You know, our doctors and scientists didn't get their knowledge on their own. You know, they're not really as smart as they really think they are. The Lord Jesus Christ gave them the ability. You say, well, you know, what about the lost ones? Even the lost ones. The ability and the things that God has given came from him. And God has the power over sickness to heal. And so he told that man that was sick with a palsy, lay it on the bed. He said, rise up and walk. The Lord Jesus Christ made a visit to Peter's house, and his mother-in-law in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 14 laid there sick and with a fever. And he walked in and he laid his hand on her and he told her, rise up. And the fever, the Bible says, immediately left her. So he has the power over sickness. And he has there was a woman in Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 20 that the Bible says that had an issue of blood. And I mean, just think about that situation. There was a huge, huge crowd. The Bible says that they were thronging Jesus. He was being pushed and shoved and touched from every side. And this lady within her heart had spent all her living, and the doctors couldn't do anything for her. And she said within her heart, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And all of that crowd and all of the bustle and everything that is going on, she managed to get and just touch the hem of his garment. And the Lord Jesus Christ stopped and said, who touched me? Can you imagine everybody looking around and thinking, well, everybody's touching you, Jesus. But he felt that touch from that woman because of her faith. And the Bible says she was healed from that very hour. She got healing immediately. The Lord Jesus Christ has power over sickness. He had power over sickness then. He has power over sickness now. It doesn't matter what you might be going through, what sickness you have, the Lord Jesus Christ has power over it, even if he chooses to heal you on the other side of glory. Even if he chooses to heal you over on the other side of glory, he has the power over sin. And then there was a young man, the power over sin, or the power over sickness. There was a man who had a withered hand in Matthew chapter 12 and in verse number 10. And the Lord Jesus Christ told him to extend his hand. And he extended his hand, and the Lord Jesus Christ healed him immediately. He said, what's the purpose in all of that? You know, what we see here is we see severe problems. We see minor problems. And we see moderate problems here of sickness. And the Lord Jesus Christ was able to heal and to take care of each and every one of them. You know, I'll tell you what, I am so glad that I have a Savior that has that ability and that I can go to. And then what we see is the Lord Jesus Christ, he has the power over physical needs. You know, there was in Mark chapter 8 and verse number 4, the disciples, they were on a trip with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had forgotten to take bread. You ever get on a trip or been doing something and you forgot to take what you needed? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ began to talk to him, and then in four verses down in Mark chapter 8 and verse number 8, the Lord Jesus Christ took a couple of fish and some loaves of bread and multiplied it and fed 4,000 people. You know, what he was showing his disciples is, it's okay that you forgot. I've got the power to provide. I've got the power to take care of physical needs. And then we see in Mark chapter 6 and verse number 41, again, where the Lord Jesus Christ, fed 5,000, and they told the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, hey, you know, how can we manage? We only have 200 pence, and that's not enough bread. We need to get rid of this crowd. We can't take care of them. And then one of the disciples said, well, you know, we've got a boy here, a little lad, and he's got two fishes and five loaves. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, tell him, sit down, get ready to eat, and fed 5,000 people with 12 baskets left over. You say, well, preacher, what does that mean? You know, I thank the Lord. Think about the pandemic that came through, all of that mess. Hey, aren't we on the other side of it? I don't really see anybody in here that looks like they're starving to death. I don't know of anybody in here that is homeless. You see, God provided. And he has power. He has power to provide the physical needs that we have. And you know, we're in a time right now when our economy and when things look like, you know, how are we going to, how are we going to make it? How are we going to pull this off? You know, is Faith Independent Baptist Church going to be here tomorrow? The Lord tarries is coming. I promise you it will be. You know why? Because God is great enough and Jesus is powerful enough to provide for the physical needs that we have. And again, it's not because God doesn't have the power. It's because many times we don't tap into the power that he's given us. Because again, we try to handle it on our own. And again, with his disciples in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 4, when he called out Peter to be a disciple, they were out fishing and they had fished all night and caught nothing. And Jesus Christ told him to go out and cast their nets. And he said, nets. And they went out and cast a net. And the Bible says they encompassed a great multitude of fishes in that it started, they had to call for help and it started sinking ships. There was so much. You know what he was trying to get across to his disciples? You obey me, you follow me, and I will provide and take care of each and every need you have because I have the power to do so. Faith Independent Baptist Church, if we'll stay on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we'll obey and do the things that he tells us to do, you know, he'll provide, he'll take care of, no matter what circumstance we're in, and he'll provide, he'll take care of us. And that's what he was getting across to his disciples. He said, you follow me, and I'll take care of your needs. You follow me, and I'll provide. You follow me, and I'll make sure that you have food. And folks, you're looking at living proof of how God takes care of his children. I don't appear to be starving. I'd like to tell you the bloating in my stomach is because I'm starving, but I'll tell you what, it's just because I've had too many meals and probably more someone else's as well. God has been always faithful in taking care of, and Jesus has the power to take care of our physical needs. And folks, Jesus also has the power over Satan. In Mark chapter 9 and verse number 22, the Lord Jesus Christ cast out some demons. There was a father who had a son, and he brought that son to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he asked the Lord Jesus Christ to cast out the demons, and he said that many times those demons will cast him into the fire and they'll tear him, and they brought that young man to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ by speaking cast out those demons. And so Jesus has the power over Satan. He has the power to restore a lunatic son. Justin, there's still hope for you, brother. And Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 14, a father came up to the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, I've got a lunatic son. I got a crazy son. I need you to intervene. I need you to take care of this situation. And the Lord Jesus Christ intervened and took care of the situation. Again, because he has power over Satan. Satan, you know why Satan tries to keep you out of the Word of God? You know why Satan tries to keep you from praying? You know why Satan tries to keep you from coming to church? Because he knows that if he can keep you away from God and the power of God, he has victory over your life. And so Jesus has power. What we need to do is we need to tap into the power. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 22, the Lord Jesus Christ again he restored a demonic man there. And in Mark chapter 4 and verse number 10, he had power over Satan himself. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 10, the devil himself. You know, most of the problems we go through, folks, I can guarantee you it's not the devil, because he can only be in one place at one time. But he has a lot of friends. And sometimes he uses us as part of his friends. But that's another message for another day. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he in Matthew chapter 4 was being tempted by the devil himself. And many times, what Jesus told the devil, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And so Jesus has power over Satan himself. And I'll tell you what, folks, it'd be good for you to be on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he has the power over Satan. And praise the Lord, Jesus Christ, he has the power over death. He has the power to conquer death. In John chapter 20, in verse number 25, what we see here is we see Thomas as the disciples shared the news that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Thomas, he said, "I'll not believe unless I put my fingers in his nail prints, in his hands, in his feet, and I'll not believe until I can thrust my hand into his side." And the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to the disciples while Thomas was there, and he said, "Here, Thomas, here's my hands, here's my feet, and here's my side." And because the Lord Jesus Christ has the power over death. You know what, folks? We are the only, true Christians are the only religious organization that has a living Savior. All of the rest of them, with no exceptions, their Savior, their leader, is dead. And they'll gladly take you to their tomb. The lady I was talking to last night, she talked about Buddha. And we talked about Buddha's bones. You know what her explanation to that was? Is, well, Buddha is eternal because he just comes back in other forms. He comes back as dogs, and he comes back as cats, and he comes back as other people, and I got to thinking about that. I praise the Lord, Jesus didn't come back in the form of a dog or a rat. He came back alive from the dead in himself, flesh and blood. He rose from the grave. So he has power over death. I know one day, if the Lord tarries, is coming, this old body that I live in it is going to give away to death. But the Bible says absent from the body is present with the Lord. And then he promised one day when he returns, this old body is going to come out of the grave. And so he has the power to conquer death. He had the power in Luke chapter 7. To raise the only son of a widow woman. He had the power in Mark chapter in Matthew chapter 9 and verse number of 18 to raise the daughter of a rich ruler. He in John chapter 11 and verse number 43, he went to the tomb of Lazarus and cried out, "Lazarus, come forth." And a man that had been dead 4 days, and everybody said, "Oh, you can't do that. We don't want to open up that tomb because, behold, he stinketh. He's rotting already." And Jesus said, "Open up that grave. Roll that stone back." And he called out, and Lazarus come jumping on his tippy toes, wrapped up in grave clothes. And the Lord Jesus Christ looked at him, and he said, "Loose him and let him go." Jesus Christ had the power to raise Lazarus from the grave. And I'll just kind of share this with you and put this in there. I often wondered why Jesus didn't point his finger at Lazarus and say, "Grave clothes, drop off." What? Why did Lazarus come out of the grave? And again, this is your preacher's sense of humor. I can almost imagine Lazarus, on his tippy toes, just kind of, doing this number coming forth, because he was bound from hand to foot with grave clothes. You know why the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples and the believers that were there that day to roll the stone away and to unwrap him and let him go? Is because they put the stone in front of the door. They wrapped up a dead man because of their lack of faith. In John chapter 4 and verse number 35 is that famous smallest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus wept not because Lazarus had died, because he knew what he was going to do. He knew that Lazarus was going to rise from the dead. Jesus wept because of the lack of faith that the born-again believers had. And them thinking that Jesus Christ was unable to do anything about that circumstance or that situation. Folks, you say, oh, well, you know, that was horrible people in that day. You know, we do the same thing. We get into a circumstance in our life, a grave circumstance, and what we do is we say, God, now, I'm going to take care of this one myself. Yeah, I've read in the Bible, you've got the power over nature, you've got the power over sin, you've got the power over sickness, you've got the power over physical needs, you even have the power over Satan and death. But Jesus, not this one, I'll take care of it. And you know what we wind up doing? We wind up making a bigger mess. We wind up botching it up more. You know what I want to challenge you about today? Tap into the power. Rely on God. Stop trying to fix it yourself. Go to Him. Cry to Him. Trust Him. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand my circumstance. No, I don't. But I know who does. And I can tell you this, He's well aware of it. He's more in tune to the details of your situation than you'll ever know. If He has the hairs on your head counted, if He knows when a sparrow falls from the sky, He knows what's going on in your life. He also knows how to fix it and take care of it. You know what we have to do? We just have to take our hands off and say, okay, Jesus, I don't know what to do. I'm going to turn this over to You. I'm going to give it to You, and I'm going to let You take care of it. The moment you do that, the Lord will go to work. You know what we're afraid of most of the time, folks? We're afraid of the answer. We're afraid of the answer. You know, sometimes we do things because we don't want God to tell us no, and we already know that what we're doing we shouldn't be doing. And we know that the answer is going to be no. So we say, no, Jesus, I'm going to take care of this one because I don't want Your answer. I don't want You messing with this because I'm doing it my way. Well, I guarantee you, you'll come to a point in that circumstance, in that situation, where you will have to reconcile it with the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is not that He won't be able to fix things, but can I remind you, sin always has a consequence. You may be forgiven for it. It be washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, put as far as the east is from the west, but there's always the consequences of sin. And so I want to encourage you today to tap into the power of God. Are you saved? Are you born again? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this. If you were to die in the seat that you're sitting in here this morning, would you wake up in heaven? Or will you wake up in hell? You know, preacher, you trying to scare me? You bet I am. Hell is a reality. Hell is a real place. Hell is a place of, the Bible says, fire and brimstone. Not theoretically, real. And it is such an awful place, as the Bible says, prepared for the devil and his angels, that God sent His only begotten Son, as the Bible tells us, for whosoever believeth in Him should not perish in hell forever, but have everlasting life. Think about how bad hell is that Jesus Christ sent His Son to die and pay for your sins so that you can go to heaven. Can I encourage you? Don't leave here today without tapping into the power of salvation. Now, I'm not promising you a life of roses and cherries and wonderful things when you get saved, because we live here in this earth. But what I am promising you is God will be with you every step of the way. You'll be able to rely and tap into all of the other powers that exist in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I encourage you, if you're not saved here today, will you get saved? Will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You say, well, I'm a little scared of that lifestyle. You know, preacher, does that mean I've got to come one of those religious fruitcakes? Well, I would rather be a religious fruitcake and die and go to heaven than be a partier and die and go to hell. Go ahead and call me a religious fruitcake. But you see, folks, I don't have religion. I have a relationship. I don't have a religion. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The lady I talked to last night has about 6 religions she's depending on. And the end of the story, all 6 of them, she's still not sure if she's going to make it. 6 religions, and she's still not sure she's going to make it. I have one relationship, and I know I'm going to make it.
Amen.
I know I will spend eternity in heaven. And it's not because of my religion. It's not because I'm a good person. It's because I have a Jesus that loves me, died for me, was buried for me, and rose for me. And when I was 15 years old, I fell down on my face before the Lord Jesus Christ, and I accepted Him.
Amen.
And He made me a promise.
Amen.
And if He has all the power to do all those things we talked about today, I have no doubt He has the power to keep me.
Amen.
Where are you at today? What is God doing in your life? What do you want God to do in your life? Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we go into a time of invitation, Lord, I've presented Your Son Jesus and the power that He has. Lord, there's some folks here that know that He has it, but have not yet trusted in Him. Lord, I pray that today would be the day that You'd encourage them to walk the aisle, come up here and let us show them from the Word of God how they can be saved. And Lord, at the least, I pray that they'd not leave without us being able to share with them the gospel and give them opportunity to be saved. And Lord, I know that there's a multitude of needs throughout our church. Lord, there's folks sitting here today with broken hearts. There's folks sitting here with sin in their life. Lord, there's folks sitting in here that have financial needs and physical needs. And Lord, no matter what need we have, You have the power and the ability to take care of that need. And Lord, all we have to do is trust You on how You choose to answer that and walk us through it or to heal us from it. And now, Lord, I pray that You bless during our invitation. In Your name we pray. What our invitation, folks, is, we're going to stand here for a few moments and we're going to sing a few verses. And if you'd like to come forward and make use of our altars, if you need to get something right with the Lord, I encourage you to come. But if you're here this morning and you don't know that you're saved, or whether you'd spend eternity in heaven, I want to encourage you to come. Now, you say, well, what's going to happen, preacher? Are you going to make me turn around and say something? No. What we're going to do is we're going to take you aside. We're going to open up the Word of God. We're going to show you Scripture and what the Bible says, how you can know for sure that heaven is your home, and give you the opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord, and we will rejoice with you. We will do our best not to embarrass you, but we want to rejoice with you. And so I encourage you to do that if you're here today and you're lost. But you know, again, you don't have to come up here to be saved. That's just a walk of faith. Don't leave this building without saying, hey, preacher, hey, Brother Jones, I need somebody to show me how to be saved. Don't leave. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. We're not guaranteed our next breath. You realize you're only one heartbeat away from dying and going to hell? If you're lost, one heartbeat. And that could stop right now. You say, oh, preacher, you're trying to scare me. Yep, I am. Will you trust Jesus?